All right. You guys feeling okay this morning? A little bit cold maybe? Well, it's not going to be cold in here. We're going to be having a good time. Now, I don't know if they're filled in yet, but there were several seats over here. If there are any young people that need a seat, there were several right over in this area. And if you still haven't moved in, all you can, just do that and allow room for a few folks to sit on the ends of the aisles there, okay? Now, I just want to poll you guys a minute here. How many of you believe today that Jesus Christ is Lord? Would you raise your hand up and go, yeah? All right. Now let's try that one more time. If you really believe that Jesus Christ is Lord today, that's the reason we're here, I want you to raise your hand up and go, yeah, okay? One, two, three. Yeah! All right. Now, did you receive one of these when you came in today? If you did not, please raise your hand right now. Anybody? Anybody not get one of these? Raise your hand. It looks like everyone has it. We welcome those of you that are sitting in the narthex area, those of you in the other overflow areas. God is up to great things here in this Capital District area. And aren't you glad to be a part of it? We're going to have a good time this morning. Next Saturday morning, we have another session right here, same time, same place. Okay? Now, I want to do one other little thing before we get started. I want to try to get a feel for how old you are. How many of you here today are freshmen in high school? Could I see your hands, please? All right. Good. How many of you are seniors in high school? Whew! Look at that. How many of you are juniors? A lot of juniors. How about sophomores? All right. How many of you don't know what you are? Okay. All right. Now, if you have a pen or pencil today, I want you to take it out. We have a little rule around here. Telling isn't teaching. Listening isn't learning. You learn to do by doing. Telling isn't teaching. Listening isn't learning. You learn to do by doing. And as we go through this morning, we're going to be involved. Now, I don't know who you're sitting next to, but they may end up being your partner this morning as we do some of our little activities here. So, does anybody want to change seats right now, real quick? We're going to be involved, and we're going to be moving quite a bit in this first part of the session, okay? First thing you need to do is open your books up to where it says the perfect start. Perfect start. Now, we're pioneers this morning. We're breaking new ground. You realize that we've never had a class like this before. Never. This is the first time in the history of the Billy Graham Association that we've ever had a class like this. So we're pioneers. I don't know how many of you may be old Star Trek fans, but do you remember how Star Trek used to come on? The mission. What was it? To boldly go where no one has ever gone before. That's what we're doing today. It's never been done. We're the first. Straighten it up a little. All right, thanks. Now, there's some things you need to do if you're really going to get the most out of this class. Number one is be prepared. And I want you to write in there to get involved. Be prepared to get involved. Unless you're willing to get a little loose this morning and get involved with it, you may not get much out of it. Telling isn't teaching. Listening isn't learning. You learn to do by doing. The second thing is that we're going to ask you to do some training at home. You know, a great athlete, a champion athlete, has to consciously be concerned about training. Has to be concerned about what he or she eats, what they do with their spare time, how they train, how much sleep they get. And we're going to ask you to complete home assignments. to complete the home assignments. Write it in. Complete home assignments. And that's what we mean by training at home. All right? And the third thing is be alert. Now, I realize there are going to be a lot of distractions this morning. We have folks sitting out in the hall. Some of you don't have seats yet over there. And it's a Saturday morning. You would be watching your favorite cartoons normally. So we're going to have to be alert. But not only here, we want to be alert for opportunities. Can you spell the word opportunities? I'll try to. Opportunities to apply and use what we learn. Can you write that in? Opportunities to apply and use what we learn. Now, if you're willing to do those things, you can have a good start into this course. Now, turn the page. Why are we here? There are three reasons for the course, quickly. The number one reason is this: to learn to witness is a way of life. I want you to write in 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. And I want to check your reading now and see if you can read this together with me right off the screen. You want to try it? Can you see that? 1 Peter 3:15. Let's read it together. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, can I ask you a question this morning? What if someone walked up to you and said, "Hey, John, Mary, Susie, I know that you're a Christian. I know that you go down to such and such a church. And Christians are supposed to have a lot of hope, right? Well, tell me this morning, why do you have so much hope in your life?" Now, if somebody came up to you today and just put you on the spot like that, would you know what to say to them? This verse says that all of us need to be able to do that. Okay? Now, can we? Can we really share with our friends? Can we really tell them the reason for the hope that is inside of us? Every one of us need to be able to do that. Now, the second reason for the course today is to be equipped to counsel at the crusade meetings. Now, you guys are very blessed. On March the 17th, you've got a great opportunity to put to use the very things you're learning today. You know what's happening on March 17th, right? You've got Rick Kua and band coming at the Starlight Theater. You've got Buster Stories there. You've got Michael Peace. And it's going to be a great concert. We're expecting over 3,000 young people there at the Starlight Theater. And Buster Stories is going to share the gospel with those people. Every one of us. And we're expecting scores and scores of young people to respond to that. You guys have the chance to counsel those people that come forward. And not only that, that's the first opportunity, but you're going to have a chance to counsel at the Billy Graham Crusade. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to see Billy Graham on TV or not. In your mind, I don't know what your concept of a Graham Crusade might be. But I can say to you, based upon what I've seen with young people from Denver, Colorado, to Columbia, South Carolina, to Florida, to North and South Dakota, all across New York State, Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse, and now in Albany, young people have been amazed as they've been a part of this Billy Graham Crusade. Because you know what they see when they come? They see that over 50% of the people that respond to Mr. Graham's message, over 50% of those people are young people just like you. Over 50% are 25 years old or younger. Isn't that amazing? How can a 71-year-old gentleman like Mr. Graham have such an effect on young people? It's the message that he preaches. It's a message that all of our friends need to hear. And we can have a chance, after Mr. Graham has preached, to look them in the eye, to share with them, talk to them about Christ and what kind of decision they've made. Now, what we like to do is pair young people with young people. In other words, if we've got a 15-year-old coming forward, we try to find somebody as close to 15 as possible of the same sex to speak with them. So if you're a young lady, you're going to be talking with other young ladies just about your age. Young men, you're going to be talking with other young men. And so we need to be ready. That's the immediate reason for why we're here today. I want you to write down Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 35. Acts 8, verses 26 to 35. Now, we're not going to look at that in the Bible this morning, but that is the story about Philip. Philip was an evangelist. And according to 1 Peter 3:15, which we just looked at, every one of us need to be witnesses for Christ. Now, we're not all evangelists. You say, hey, Rex, you know, I've talked about Jesus once or twice when I was with my friends, and, you know, nobody started falling down on their knees and saying, what must I do to be saved? It just doesn't happen to me. Well, it doesn't happen to me either. But every one of us can be a witness for Christ. You know, this word witness is very interesting. It's the same word that we get the word martyr from. You know what a martyr is? A martyr is someone who is put to death for their faith. Now, we, thank God, don't have to be put to death for our faith, but we're living sacrifices. We're living witnesses to who Jesus is. And so the challenge today is that we not only learn how to talk, but that we learn how Jesus wants us to live. And then finally, one of the reasons is so that we can have widespread revival. I want you to write down 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. What in the world is revival? I'll tell you what revival is not. Okay? Revival is not what we usually experience in church on Sunday morning. Revival is not what we usually see in a Christian group that we may be a part of. Now, it may be wonderful and good, but that's not necessarily revival. Revival is when we as Christians get all pumped up and excited and ignited again about our faith. And you know what? Most of the revivals in the world, and I love to read about revivals and what God has done, most of them are started by young people. I remember reading about an Asbury revival in Asbury, Kentucky. Wilmore, Kentucky, rather. Asbury Seminary there in college. And a young man stood up in chapel one day, and he said, I've just got something to say to you guys. And he confessed a sin to the whole group. And when he did that, it had an amazing effect on his classmates. A lot of those peers of his that day, it so broke them inside when they saw this guy who was a member of the soccer team. This guy was so honest. It just broke their hearts because they then began to stand up and confess their own sin. And it started a revival. And when that happened, lots of people who did not know Jesus started following Jesus. Amazing things begin to happen. We'd like to see that happen here in this area. So those are the three reasons for the course. So that we can all be a better witness. So that we can be counselors at the crusade. And so that revival can happen. Now I want you to look at your books on page 3. And let's jump into the course today. Can you read with me? We're talking about living an effective and victorious Christian life. Let's begin reading this first section together. All together now. Reading together. One of the most exciting facts about being a Christian is that God has a purpose for every person. In other words, as members of God's family, each of us has a role to fill. This means that each of us is very special to God. No one is in His family by accident. Now, I want you to circle the word purpose there, where it says, being a Christian is God has a purpose for every person. Circle the word purpose. And then I want you to go down and underline the words very special to God. Very special to God. Some of you this morning may not feel like you are very special. One of the things I hope will happen through this course is that you will see that God does really care about you and that you have a lot of value. And whatever others may have said about you, whatever your parents feel, whatever your friends feel, whatever the folks in your class at school may have thought, you are very, very special to God. Some of you here today, your lives are just cruising. Oh man, everything's going your way. You've got all the attention you want. You've got all the things you need. Your life is cruising. And so you don't struggle with this. Others of us may be struggling with it. We've all got our own set of problems, though. The thing that I hope will happen today is that we'll all walk out of here realizing that God loves us just as we are. Can you say amen? Do you know that word, amen? Can you say that? Amen. Do you believe it? God loves us just as we are. In fact, we're going to be singing a song at the Billy Graham Crusade called Just As I Am. And every evening, when Mr. Graham preaches and says, I want you to commit your lives to Christ, they'll play that song, Just As I Am. And people will come forward just as they are, with all their problems, with all their pain, with all their insecurities, and they'll come forward just as they are to Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to take a minute and a half right now. And the next paragraph says, one of God's purposes for you is that you share His life with other people. Take 1.5 minutes right now and write at least 3 ways you believe you can share God's life with another person. Are you ready? Think. You're going to have to think quickly. 3 ways that you believe you can share God's life and God's love with another person. Whatever it might be. I'm not even going to give you any hints. Just begin to write right now. 3 ways. That you think you can share God's life and God's love with another person. How are you doing? Take about 30, 35 more seconds on that. How can you share God's love and God's life with another person? Okay, I want to get some responses from you. Look like a bright group today. Who's going to be first? And share, tell me just one way that you can share God's love and God's life with somebody else. Who'll be first? Okay? Who'll be first? Yes, right here. Pardon me? Through the Bible? Great. Share the Bible with them. Somebody else. What's the way that you can share God's love? Right here. Through music. Okay? Singing to them or sharing some kind of music with them. Man, I don't need to sing it to them, I'll tell you. They'll be turned on. Somebody else. What's the way you can share God? Yes, up there. By witnessing to them. Now, you can do that in a variety of ways, right? Some of you may have put things like shoveling their driveway on a morning like this morning. Getting out and actually helping somebody shovel their drive. Or cleaning their car off for them. You ever done that? That's the way you can share God's life and God's love. Now, if you begin to do that, people are going to think you're weird. They're going to think, hey, there's something about this person that's unusual, but they're really going to admire it. It's not going to be a weird weird. It's going to be a good weird. They're going to think, man, I don't know what makes this person tick, but whatever it is, I think I'd like to have that. You'll build a magnetism around you. Somebody else, what ways can you share God's... Yes?
By living your life as a Christian.
Okay, by just living your life as a Christian. You know, we're like a book that people read, right? The Bible even says that in 2 Corinthians, that we're like an epistle or we're like a letter that people read. We're known and we're read of all people. People can read you like a book. The question that God's asking us this morning is, how do we read? How do we read? When people read you, what are they reading? And believe me, your friends really know what you're made of. You can fool some of them some of the time, but believe me, by and large, they really know what you're made of. Now, I want you to turn the page. We're on page 4 now in your book, and this is where it starts getting fun. Now, you'll see a big hand there, something like this. Now, I want you to write in some words at the top. We've done surveys all over America, some of them formally, by giving people sheets like we gave you this morning, and others of them were just informal, asking people. And we said, what is the greatest difficulty you've had in telling other people about Jesus? Now, hey, let's face it, that's not real easy, is it? All of us may have tried it at one time or another, but it's not a very easy thing to do. And the number one reason, the number one difficulty, is not knowing what to say. Write in the words, what to say, at the top. What to say. Okay, in those first three blanks. And number two was, what's the biggest difficulty you have in telling other people about Jesus? Number two was, not having the power to say it. The power to say it. Okay? Now, have you run into those problems? Not knowing what to say, or not feeling that you have the power to say it. Sometimes, when we know we could say something, we just don't know what to say. Other times, we really know what to say because we've studied it down at the church, and we've read our Bible and so forth, and we know we could talk about Jesus, but man, we're just too scared, or don't feel that we have really the power to say it. Now, what we're going to look at this morning is answers to both of those objections. Now, the first one is on this big hand that you've got here. You've got our little athlete down here, and you're going to see these little athletes all throughout the book. We're going to learn five ways that you can learn what to say. Five ways that you can learn what to say. Now, the first one, I'm going to have to kind of get sideways here to write this in. The first way is to hear. Write in the word hear, right in the little finger there. And I want you to write 10% out here to the side. And write down Romans, you can abbreviate it ROM, 10:17. Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's important that we hear the Bible. But now let's quickly move on to the second one. Read. Okay, I want you to write 25% out by that finger, the ring finger. And then I want you to put one of these big words, Deuteronomy, but just abbreviate it, D-E-U-T, 17:19. Deuteronomy 17:19, you can look it up this week. It talks about the king, the leader of Israel. And it says that this king is supposed to read from the Bible, read from the book all the days of his life. And God wants every one of us to be reading from the Bible. Hey, do you read from the Bible every day? You know, I was converted. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 13 years old. And a lot of you here today are right around that age, 13, 14, 15, 16. I gave my life to Christ at that age. And the Bible became for me a new book. This book that had been so dull before, that had no life to it, it suddenly came alive because the very author of that book was now living in me. Now, I realize that you may not get too turned on to the King James Version of the Bible, but you can find some version of the Bible that you can understand well. And every day, you can go to that and get a word from God from the Bible. But you know what? I had been in Sunday school all my life. I had heard the gospel preached. I had read the Bible all the way through. I started reading it all the way through when I was 13. But when I got into college and studied the Bible carefully, I learned more in one semester than I had learned all those years of hearing and reading. All those years of hearing and reading suddenly came together when I began to study carefully. Now, we put the 10% down because experts tell you that you only remember about 10% of what you hear, and that only for a few hours. Now, that's kind of scary, isn't it? That's why I told you to take your pen or pencil out. You could sit through and listen to this today. You'll remember about 10% of it just for a little while, and then it'll be gone. This afternoon, it'll be gone. That's why it's so important that we write some things down. Reading is a little bit better, 25%, but it too goes quickly. You remember all those books you've had to read for school? How much of that do you remember today? Probably very little, right? It goes quickly. In fact, I've even heard that 50% of the knowledge you get in college is absolutely gone within 2 years. 50% of the knowledge you get is gone within 2 years. Now, that's scary, isn't it? Some of you are freaking out. You just spent $20,000 on a college education. And so you see, just sitting and listening in church is not enough, is it? I want you to write the word study in this finger. And put 50% out beside of it. Put 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay? It says that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. But then it gets even better. I want you to write in the word memorize. And put 100%. And write Psalm, you can abbreviate PS, 119, verses 9 and 11. Memorize. And one of the best ways that you can prepare to be a counselor at the Billy Graham Crusade is to learn to memorize some Scripture. Now, one of the things we're going to ask you to do in this course is to memorize some verses. In fact, your project for next week, one of them, is going to be to memorize three verses. We're going to ask you to, now this is in the back of your book, but we're going to ask you to do Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and Romans 5:8. Romans 3:23, 6:23, and Romans 5:8. Now, your youth leaders in your churches are going to be helping you with these. In fact, in church tomorrow, I know that many of you are going to be going over some of this stuff. And so you're going to be studying the very things that we're learning today. Now let me ask you a question. Let's just use our imagination. Let's suppose that somehow some enemy of our country broke in here today. They're taking over the country. Like if any of you ever saw the movie Red Dawn, when suddenly these kids were in school and these parachutes just started dropping outside. And it was the enemy coming in and they took over. They just began to shoot the students down with machine guns. Let's just use our imagination for a moment. Somebody broke in here and they just stopped this meeting cold. They said, "What are you guys doing here?" "Well, we're Christians. We're getting ready for the Billy Graham Crusade. You know, we're studying this stuff about the Bible and about who Jesus is and all that." "Okay. Well, I guess you really love Him, don't you?" "Well, yeah, we love Jesus. We've given our lives to Jesus and we really believe what He has to say to us in the Bible." So some big commander walks up and he starts getting a group out of the first row and he lines them up and he says, "Okay, you love Jesus so much, you love the Bible so much, you say you really want to know what He has to say to you and guide your life." He's very, very angry, very, very cynical, has a sneer on his face, willing to do anything. He holds the gun up to the first person's head and he says, "Okay, tell me. If you love Him so much and love His Word so much, quote, if you can quote 15 verses from this Bible and tell me where they're found, I'll let you leave here alive." Start quoting. I wonder how many of us would get out of here alive. Would you? Would you get out of here alive? And yet, hey, listen. We say we love Jesus. I believe we do. But if we love Him, we ought to want to spend some time with Him in His Word. Is that not right? How many of you know that when you get this thing that people call puppy love, you start falling in love with somebody, your mom or your dad has to practically beat you off the telephone at night? Get off that telephone, it's going to grow to your head, kid. Isn't that right? You want to talk to them. You just can't wait until you see them the next day. You can hardly stand to be apart from them for even an hour. And we honestly say we love Jesus Christ and we want to follow Him and please Him. And yet I wonder how much time we're willing to spend in His Word. How much time we're willing to spend to get to know it. You know, the Bible is really a love letter. And you see, as we get to know it better and get to know Him better, then we can help our friends know Him better. Now, what if somebody, one of your friends, were to come up to you right now and say, "You know, I am just very anxious. Man, I'm thinking about my life and I don't know what to do. I'm about ready to go off to college. And, you know, my dad's been talking to me about what I'm supposed to do. We've been discussing vocations and stuff, but I'm really worried about all this. I'm anxious." What are you going to tell him? Would you know anything to tell him from the Bible? Now, sure, you can sit and, you know, talk with him about it. But do you know anything to say from the Bible? Well, if I were you, I'd give him vitamin A. "All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And they can have that promise that God is working in the midst of everything for their good because they love Him and are called according to His purpose. What if one of your friends comes up and says, "You know, my boyfriend just broke up with me. My girlfriend just told me to get lost. I am just heartbroken. And I'm bummed out." What are you going to do? If I were you, I'd give them vitamin B. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, there's a lot of truth in that. What if somebody says, you know, I'm just confused about life. I'm hearing all these different things, and I'm having people tell me I need to try drugs, and other people say that drugs is a dead-end street, and I don't know what to do, and my boyfriend or girlfriend is pressuring me to do something I don't want to do, and my mom and dad are telling me one thing, and my youth director is telling me another, you know, one thing, and I just don't know where to go. I'm confused. What are you going to tell them? Hey, you know Jesus Christ. He's given you the answer. He is the answer. What are you going to tell them? I'd give them vitamin C, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Are you depressed today? Take vitamin D. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Are you empty? Take vitamin E. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Are you facing failure today? Some of you are worried about flunking out of school. Hey, you know the Bible's got something to say about that. Take vitamin F. Faithful is He who called you, and He also will bring it to pass, that thing that He's called you to. Are you grieving today? You've just lost someone significant in your life? Take vitamin G. God grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner person. Are you hurting? Take vitamin H. Happy are you because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Are you insulted? Take vitamin I. Increase and abound in love for one another. Are you jealous? Take vitamin J. Judge not that you be not judged. Are you kicked around? Take vitamin K. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Are you lonely? Do you realize that when Mr. Graham preaches on loneliness, we have more people responding on an average than any other sermon he preaches. I work in a telephone center in Dallas, and every time there's a telecast aired on loneliness, we have more calls than any other time. Some of you are desperately lonely today. You've got friends that are desperately lonely. Even when you're in a crowd of people, you still feel lonely. Why don't you take vitamin L? Jesus promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Now, this is not going to apply to a lot of you, but few of you adults today. Are you mortgaged more than your means? Take vitamin M. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are you neglected? Take vitamin N. Never, promise Jesus. Never will I leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Are you oppressed? Take vitamin O. Overcome, encourages John. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you persecuted because of the stand you're taking for Christ? Take vitamin P. Paul says, we're persecuted but not forsaken. Persecuted but not forsaken. Are you about to quit? Now, you've got to listen close to this one. It's a Shakespearean word. And in Shakespearean times, the word quit meant get ready. It meant wise up, get ready, be strong, be alert. King James says, quit you like men, be strong, get ready. Are you rejected? Take vitamin R, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Are you sad? Take vitamin S, seek those things which are above if you're sad today. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Are you troubled? Take vitamin T. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Are you upset? Take vitamin U. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Are you victimized? Somebody's abused you and used you in your life? Take vitamin V. The Bible says that in a spiritual sense, verily thou shalt be satisfied. God will meet your needs. Are you weary? You will be before I finish this thing, won't you? Are you weary? Weary in well-doing? In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Are you exasperated? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Are you yearning? Take vitamin Y. Yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. Are you zapped? Take vitamin Z. Zealous for good deeds. Now look. Listen to this. There is something in the Bible that either directly or indirectly speaks to any problem you got. I don't care what it is. Some of you think that the Bible is just an archaic book. Oh man, that is gross. That is so dull. But it's got something to say to every conceivable thing that we're going through. The question is, are we willing to get into it? Are we willing to spend time with Him and come to God daily and say, Lord, speak to me through Your Word. Now, we're going to write one more word down, then we're going to stand up, and I'm going to show you some things that will help you to remember these five concepts. Okay? The last word here is the word meditate. The word meditate. And I want you to write down Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. It says that the word of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Okay? Now, we are going to learn these various things. Have you written that down yet? Quick, because you're going to have to put your pens and books down. Quick, get down the word meditate. Joshua 1:8. Okay. All right. Now look closely. We're going to do a little motion to each one of these, and later on in the morning when we learn five other concepts for the other hand, we are going to learn five different ones, and they really get wild. Now these are kind of simple, okay? We've got to break you in slowly. These are very, very simple. And when we say the word here, we're simply going to go like this. Okay? Put your hand behind your ear, like you're trying to hear. When you say the word read, have any of you ever had a speed reading course before? You know what they teach you in speed reading? Some of you have. You're supposed to take your hand like this and kind of scan the page. And you don't read individual words. You just look at whole paragraphs and whole phrases and blocks of words. And so they teach you to just kind of stroke your hand over the page like that, back and forth like that as you move downward on the page. Speed reading. Now, we're going to hear and then we're going to read like this. That's simple enough, isn't it? Now, the next one is study. Now, I don't know about you, but when I study, my eyes sometimes get a little red and bloodshot. Now, when I was in high school, I never studied enough for that to happen. But later on, that did happen a few times. And so what we're going to do is like we've got these glasses on or something. We're really studying and our eyes are kind of getting tired and everything. And we're going to put our glasses on like this. Weird, crazy, I know. But we're going to remember it that way. Now, on memorization, we're going to go like this. Really letting our brain work. We're just going to point our head like this. And then the grand finale on meditation, you've got to stand on one leg. You've got to cross the other one over it like this. And you ever seen the sculpture of the thinker? You know, the guy that has his hand like this? Like he's thinking and meditating. So we're going to get on one leg like this and we're going to meditate. Okay? You got it? Now let's see if we can do it all together before we break up with a partner, okay? Are you ready? Hear. All right? Read. Study. Memorize. Meditate. Now obviously you're sitting down, so you can't do this one very well. Do you think you can handle those? Now without getting too rambunctious, we're going to stand up quietly at first here. No, wait just a minute. We're going to stand up quietly, and we're going to try these with a partner. Now, if you have to get three together, it's okay, but try to just get two together and go over these various things. Talk about hear, read, study, memorize, and then meditate. All right? Now, you've got 45 seconds to do that. Stand up quickly, get a partner, and go to work. Okay, how did you do? You may be seated. Please sit down. Now in about 3 minutes, I want to tell you the way that your life can be totally changed, and this is it. That's quite a promise to make. But I'll assure you that if you'll take what I'm about to say and really do it, it'll change your life. Guys, this has been the problem with us, you and me, okay? We have come to the Bible, and we've done a lot of these things. Man, most of you guys have heard the Bible all your life. You've heard preaching. You've heard Christian music. Hey, you've got everything, every contemporary Christian cassette compact disc or album, you hear the Word all the time through all different means. You read the Bible even. You hear it read in church. You've even been in study groups. You've memorized a few verses along the way. And you've even maybe somewhere in a camp been asked to meditate. But what's the reason behind all this? What's the purpose? You see, God led me as a young man to begin to memorize Scripture, and I've memorized books and books of Scripture. But that doesn't mean a thing unless it changes your life. Can you nod your head if you agree with that? It doesn't mean a thing unless it changes your life, right? You see, you could just walk around with a big head with a bunch of knowledge and a bunch of Scripture up there like a big human sponge. And it could never change your life. This is what we need to do. Are you ready? We've got to go every day. We can't depend on our preacher for this, our pastor, our youth minister, our mom and dad, anybody. We've got to do it ourselves. Now, they can help us. They can give us guidance. But we need to ask ourselves, Lord, how do I begin to live this out? Now, if we read a scripture, let me give an example. If we read a scripture in the Bible that says, increase and abound in love for one another. All right, now that's our verse for the day. This is just an example. Increase and abound in love for one another. Now, what in the world does that mean? Love is kind of just a blurred thing. You know, we love pizza, we love blue jeans, we love everything. What does it really mean when the Bible says love? Well, this is the way you begin to ask when you meditate. This is what changes your life. You begin to say, Lord, what does this mean? And Lord, what does this mean to me? Let's write that down. What does it mean? And then, what does it mean to me? Now, on that last question, that's where you're getting very practical. Now, I'll tell you the difference. If you just go to this and say, Lord, what does this mean? You're not going to come up with a lot. If you say, what does it mean to me? What you're really asking is, what can I do? That's what you're asking. What can I do to work this out in my life? All right? Now, here's an example. You're on this verse, like love increase and abound in love for one another. And you're at home, okay? And you're saying, Lord, I really want to live this out because I belong to you and I really want to be a changed person. And then God begins to show you some things. Well, if you really want to let love increase and abound, then you could help clean up your room a little bit. And those socks that are standing over in the corner that you wore for 5 days last week, you can pick them up and throw them in the laundry bucket or whatever. All right? Number two, you could help your mom. Now, she'd have a heart attack, but you could say to your mom, Mom, why don't you let me vacuum the living room today? And after she gets up off the floor, then maybe you can tell her how much you love your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister. You see what I'm talking about? You start asking, how can I do this? And that's where it gets painful, doesn't it? That's where it gets painful. When we begin to ask, Lord, how can I live this out? So what have we said as we go into a time now of a little skit here? What have we said?
California hours were open, East Coast hours.
The Eastern Standard Time, then.
That's correct, or Eastern Daylight Time, as the case may be.
Okay.
Then we are also open after press conferences and after speeches given at night.
Oh, no kidding.
Open the phone.
Wow.
And we try and be as helpful as we can. We try and be sort of a clearinghouse for people who have personal problems. We can't solve the problems, but we can help them in the direction where somebody might be able to solve the problem for them.
Oh, that's great.
We take comments on any issue of the day for the president. Now, we generally just log positives and negatives. In other words, if it's a personal message, or if you want your name and address and telephone number recorded, you really need to write to the president.
Right.
Put that in writing, and then it becomes, you know, part of the archive, so to speak.
Huh.
But we just cannot take all that information on the phone.
Right. So the president really wants to get these messages?
Absolutely, sir. We have seen our talent sheets come back with notations from the president on them. So it really does. I don't say that the calls we take necessarily change his mind if he feels very strongly about a given issue, but it certainly does put pressure on him, and favorable or not favorable, as the case may be, and it does influence him.
Well, that's tremendous. Excites me to know that President Bush really wants to know what everyone's thinking then.
That's right. It means a great deal to him.
Well, I want to thank you for your time, and I would like to get a message to President Bush. I would like to affirm the president's pro-life stance.
I like that. I'll certainly tell him that.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you have a good day.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That was some conversation. But just to think that we could get a message to the president. Each of you, in fact, if you'd like that phone number, you could see June in the back by the media stand. And you can call up and leave a message with the president. By the way, did I ever show you that picture that I had with Nancy Reagan? It was just a great experience to meet somebody who is important. But we can do that all the time. But I want you to think about one thing. Imagine that you yourself received an invitation to the president, to go and visit the president. I'd like you to imagine that for a minute and listen. Here's maybe what it might be like.
Goodbye, George, dear. Just remember, after all of your appointments, we're going to Kennebunkport.
You know, Barr, I don't know what I enjoy more. The time I spend with you, by the time I spend with the people of this great country of ours, I just can't wait to meet some of them.
Mr. President, they're here, sir.
Hold all my calls, please.
Yes, sir.
Dear Mr. President, thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, sir, for everything. Bye.
Why does it always seem to go like this? Next, please.
O thou chief executive, who art in the White House, in whom so much doth constitutionally dwell, upon whose desk hath been placed a most effective blotter, incline thine ear toward thy most humble servant, and grant that thy many entities may be manifoldly endeavored on the fruitful plain. And grant what we did shall in evermore twain asunder.
Excuse me, but what?
Goodbye.
Next, please.
Oh, great and mighty Mr. President. I am nasty and low down, I fear. I must be a disgusting piece of filth that tastes like bitter herbs in your omnipotent mouth. No, no, I am worse than that. I'm a slimy slug that dwells underneath the ground. I do not dare to look even in your face.
Please get up. You don't have to do that. I want to talk with you.
No, 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 no. How could I even thought that someone like you would want to talk with someone like me? Oh, I must be such a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Next.
This is a tele to your office. I'm so glad to get up just as a chat with you, nerd. And it is that, probably a sister. That's me. Well, listen, you do your thing, and, I'll do mine, okay? But, I'm gonna go. Later, dude.
Next, please. Would you like to talk to me about foreign policy?
know Dale and all.
Yeah, and I want to talk to him about the financial aid, because you know how hard it is.
What do you think about the financial aid package I'm proposing for students?
Excuse me, sir. I don't think we're quite ready to talk to you yet. Let's go make a list of all the students on the table for each
other. Please send in the next person.
Mr. President, I want you to help me get into West Point. I've got to get into West Point. My parents are really expecting me to get in there. You've got to do it. I know you can. And, oh, I need a few other things. My father needs a better parking space for his government job, not a parallel parking space. It takes him all day to get in there. He can never do it on the first try. And, what else? Oh, there's just so many things. Oh, yeah, the parking place, you better make it where he can pull straight in. I have so much things. Why don't I just leave this with you?
Okay, that's fine.
It's just a few. I mean, I got...
Next, please.
Dear Mr. President, I know I should be more awake for this, but I'm so busy. And I just...
Could you help this man out, please? Next. How many do we have left?
As usual, Mr. President, most are just too busy to come talk with you. They had to do the dishes, watch TV, wash their cars.
And there isn't anybody else out there?
Well, there is just one. But she's just a child. You wouldn't want to see her, would you?
Might as well show her in.
Are you really my president?
I am. Isn't there something you want to tell me, or something you want to ask for? Something to recite?
Yes, I guess so.
Well, what is it?
I just wanted to thank you for inviting me here. That's all.
You know, maybe none of us have ever really received an invitation from the president, but all of us have received an invitation from the God of the universe. Some of the characters seem a bit ridiculous, but I wonder how many of us saw ourselves in those people as we approached our God. Rex is going to come back right now and just give us a few hints on how we can approach our God, Rex.
Okay. In the book on page 5, I'm going to do another hand. We've got about 15 minutes. And before we take a major break, and so we got to stay with it, stay together. Now you'll see there a hand something like this, and it has letters in the fingers. And what do those letters spell? Speak. Okay. Now, you remember I started today by saying this. The two major difficulties that people say they have is not knowing what to say and not knowing how to say it. Or not feeling they have the power to say it. And this little hand right here deals with knowing, not knowing what to say, but rather having the power to say it. Now, we can remember it easily by the acrostic speak. Now, there's a big word that's scary to some people. Now, by the way, these you're going to have to probably write sideways in here. You can write it any way you want, but I'm going to write sideways. And it's the word sovereignty. Sovereignty. Five things that you need to be aware of if you're going to have the power to say it. Sovereignty. Now, what in the world do we mean by that big word? If you look it up in a dictionary or something like this, something that's sovereign is something that is independently powerful. That is, it doesn't necessarily need anybody else. It's independent, it's self-sufficient, it's sovereign. Okay? Now, what we mean when we talk about sovereignty today is that our God, when He calls us to do something for Him, He equips us to do it. Now, one of the main reasons we're here is to get counselors for the Billy Graham Crusade, right? Some of you don't believe you could ever do that. You're a lot like Jeremiah was when God called him. Jeremiah said something like this. When God had talked to him, and God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." Some of us today may use that excuse or that reason for not wanting to be a counselor. Look, I'm only 13 years old. I'm 14, I'm 15. I don't know what to say. I mean, how am I going to go down there and speak to somebody else? That's exactly what Jeremiah said. But notice what the Lord said to him. "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them." There's no reason to be afraid. "For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth." God is challenging you today to be a witness for Him. And the God who has called you to do that will also give you the power to do it. There's really no need to be afraid. Now, as we learn this S, are you ready for this? We are going to do a body S. You know what a body S is? That's where you do this, right? You got the little tail up here on the S, and this one going back this way. You think you can do that? Stand up right now and try it. Just stay right where you are, and let's all try it together. Got to stretch out a little bit. Try the body S. Can you do it? Sovereignty, okay? All right, sit back down. Sit back down. All right. Now, what does the P stand for? The P is for the word promises. Promises. And write down Ephesians 6:17 for that. Promises. And the word 6:17. Now what we mean by promises here is what God has promised you in His Word. And He's promised you in His Word that when you speak His Word, it's going to have an effect. When you speak His Word, it's going to have an effect. He's also promised you that you can use the Word and it's like a sword. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." If you're really going to have the power to speak, you've got to believe that the God who called you will also equip you. And you've got to believe that God's promises are true, that are in His Word. Now when we do promises, we're going to do it something like this. It's like we're holding a big book or something. We're going to do our hands out like this. So you're just going to take your hands and you're going to go like that, like you're holding a big book. Just stay where you are and do that. Okay? So what we're going to do is the S, and then we're going to do promises. Okay? Now it gets a little bit more interesting. The E stands for expectations. Expectations.
I've come to believe in my short life that one of the reasons that a lot of us are not experiencing great things from God is because we don't expect anything to happen. You get up in the morning, same old thing. You don't talk to God, don't meet with the president, you don't meet with the king of the universe. You don't talk to Him. You don't say, Lord, I'm really expecting You to do something great in my life today. There's no expectation at all. And so when we talk about expectations, we're talking about having high expectations about how God is going to not only work in our lives, but use us to touch the lives of other people. Expectations. It's really kind of like faith. Write down Hebrews 11:6. You know what that says? Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, high expectations in what God is going to do. Without that, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So for the expectations, we're going to slap a high five, okay? We're going to go up like that with our partner and slap a high five like that, okay? So you got the big body S, and then you've got the promises, and then you've got high expectations. All right, let's go on to the next one. Actions. If we're going to have the power to speak for Christ, our actions need to back up what we're talking about. Now, I want you to write down two more questions down here on actions. Number one, I just want you to head it like this. What is God doing? And then number one, in my life. Number two, through my life. What is God doing? One, in my life. Number two, through my life. How about it? Someone comes to you, a friend comes to you and says, hey, what has being a Christian done for you? What would you say? They come to you and they say, hey, you're a Christian. You tell me I need to be a Christian. What has being a Christian done for you? Well, I go to church and I give part of my money away to the church. Boy, I'd want to be a Christian, wouldn't you? You see, if that's all there is to it, it's not very attractive, is it? When we talk about actions, we're talking about God doing something in our lives that makes us attractive people, that makes us the kind of people that others would want to have that quality of life. And so, for actions here, we're going to do the little quip that you say when you do action, you know, in a movie or something. When they're directing a movie, putting it together, producing a movie, they do all these different clips and they always say action, right? So we're going to have the big body S, and then we're going to have promises, and then we're going to have high expectations, actions, and finally, the K stands for kindle. And in just a moment, we're going to put all these together. And I want you to write down Ephesians 5:18. By the way, for actions, you can put Philippians 2:13. Ephesians 5:18. Kindle. And what you're going to do on this is simply put your hand over your heart. Now, I looked up the word kindle last night, and it said to ignite or to set something on fire. And what we're asking that God would do among us is to really set us on fire as we get ready for this crusade. So are you ready for this? In a moment, you're going to stand and do it with your partner, okay? You got the big body S for sovereignty. You got promises, okay? High expectations, actions, right? And then kindle, okay? Let's stand and do it together, and then you'll turn and do it with your partner. All right, all together now. All together now. Here we go. Sovereignty.
promises, high expectations, actions, Kendall. Pretty good. Now, you've got 1 minute to get with your partner and go through that. Go through the hear, read, study, memorize, meditate also, okay? Okay, you may be seated, please. All right, how did you do? Did you do okay? All right, guys, we're moving very quickly this morning, and we have just a little bit more to cover before our break. Now, we're looking at page 6 now. And I want you to write in some words for me. Now, we began today by saying God wants us to share His life with others. One of the best ways to do this is by telling people about Jesus Christ. Are you with me up at the top? I want you to write in the word where it says, "But our blank often speak louder than our blank." Write the word "actions often speak louder than our what?" Words. All right. Then it asks the question, what are the evidences that God's Spirit is making us what He wants us to be? What are the evidences that God's Spirit is in control of our lives? I want you to write 3 words for me. Number 1, put victory. Everybody wants to be a winner. Everybody wants to be a winner, a champion. And when we're walking in the Spirit, letting God's Spirit influence our lives, we have victory. Galatians 5:16 says that when we walk in the Spirit, we'll not be giving in to the lust of our flesh. Number 2 is the word power. Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And every one of us, if we know Christ today, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And the third one is love. Now, love can sometimes be a sappy word if we don't know what it really means. Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells what love is all about. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, as I say these other words, I want you to ask yourself, do I really have these things in my life today? Love. What about it? Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. How about it? Are those in your life today? When we're walking in the Spirit, the Bible says that those things will characterize our life. Now move on down, the middle of the page. Psychologists tell us that the 2 things people want above all others are significance. I'll help you spell it. S-I-G-N. I-F-I-C-A-N-C-E. One more time. Significance. S-I-G-N-I-F-I-C-A-N-C-E. Now this is talking about a good self-image. Everybody wants to feel significant. And the second one is security. Security. Everybody wants significance. And security. And every one of us here today, no matter how we are, old we are, where we've come from, whatever our background, all of us are searching for those things. All of us have sought these things in one way or another. The love of Christ provides them for us. You realize that the reason teenagers are streaming into gangs today, particularly in the big cities, but also in smaller ones now, is that for a feeling of belonging, a feeling of significance and security, and they feel they can get it there. We sometimes join sports teams. It might be gangs. It might be clubs. We might be seeking for these things through our grades or through our accomplishments, but all of us are looking for them. The thing that I want you to know today is that because you're created in the image of God and God loves you, you already have both of those things. I know that's hard to grab a hold of, especially if your family seems to be falling apart. Especially if things just haven't gone well for you in your life. You may not believe that God really unconditionally loves you. Why would He let all this happen? We're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back from the break. Finally, I want you to write in these last 3 words. How to stay sensitive to God's Spirit. And by the way, folks, you can look all of these up, these verses up, when you go home or when you study in your church group. Number 1 is to confess our sin. Confess our sin. 1 John 1:9 says if we do that, God will cleanse us of it. He'll forgive us. Number 2, obey.
Jesus said in John 14:21 that if you really love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to obey me. That's the bottom line. We can talk a lot, but if we really love God, we're going to obey him. And the final word is practice. Practice. Now, Philippians 4:9 is written up above, but that verse says, you can jot it in again down there, Philippians 4:9 says, those things that you've heard and received and learned and seen in me, practice those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. We need to practice the things that we learn. Hey guys, we're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, John is going to lead us into the break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about walking on God's pathway.
Thank you, Rex. Hey, did I ever show you my picture with Nancy Reagan? Oh, I did. Okay. Couple things. One is T-shirts. I left my T-shirt on the back, but Billy Graham T-shirt says, be there. They're on sale. We only have limited supplies down there, so you'll want to get there when I say go. Second thing is there's information about our Explosion 90. Tickets on sale down there. Please help yourselves to that. Youth leaders, there's going to be a national convention next summer called DC 91. If you would like to go for $7 to DC 91, National Youth Congress on Evangelism, youth leaders only, see June Dudley at the media table afterwards. Ready? Go. You have 10 minutes.